The second Sunday of Advent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 15. Brethren, what other things have been written for our instruction, that through the patience and the consolation afforded by the Scriptures we may have hope. May then the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind toward one another, according to Jesus Christ, that one in spirit you may with one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another, even as Christ has received you, to the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus has been a minister of the circumcision, in order to show God's fidelity in confirming the promises made to our fathers, but that the Gentiles glorify God because of his mercy, as it is written, Therefore will I praise thee among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he says, Rejoice, you Gentiles, and with his people. And again, Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing his praises, all you peoples. And again Isaiah says, There shall be the root of Jesse, and he who shall arise to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew chapter 11. At that time, when John had heard in prison of the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples to say to him, Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answering said to them, Go and report to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear, the dead rise, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. But as these were going, Jesus began to say to the crowds concerning John, What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft garments are in the houses of kings. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall make ready thy way before thee. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So on this second Sunday of Advent, a few considerations taken from Bishop Herrera and in part from St. Ambrose. Today is St. Ambrose's feast day, December the 7th, the day that he was consecrated a bishop in 374 A.D., so a little more than 1,500 years ago. And so some of the contemplation will be taken in part from St. Ambrose as well. But this is the beginning of the gospel, the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And St. John is trying to get his disciples and followers to leave him and follow Christ. St. John is trying to get his followers. He's telling them, he must increase, I must decrease. It is difficult for his followers to leave him. That's why it becomes necessary for St. John the Baptist to be captured and to be put to death. And Bishop Sheen points out concerning the death as a side note of St. John the Baptist, said Christ was not a healer. He did not always heal. He did not always cure. And the first and greatest example is that He didn't release St. John the Baptist from prison. He didn't stop St. John the Baptist from being executed. He let him die. He also let Lazarus die, and so on. So a little side note. But St. John the Baptist was trying to leave this world so that Christ could go out and do his work. And he realized that he was being, at this time, a hindrance to Christ. And he was trying to get, because of the followers wouldn't leave him, and so he's telling his followers, go and ask Christ, go and ask Christ. And here some of his followers come to Christ to ask him what they see and what they hear, to ask him about Christ. The followers at the word of John the Baptist come to our Lord and say, "Art thou he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answering said to them, "Go and report to John what you have heard and seen." And Bishop Herrera says, wherever there is Jesus Christ, these things shall be heard and seen. And those who report Christ, whether it be in his physical body, as is the case today in the gospel, or in his mystical body, which is the church, or in our souls that are supposed to be filled with Christ, we will hear and see certain things if Christ is there. Are you he who is to come, or should we look for another? Are you the true church, or should we look for another? Are you really a follower of Christ, or should we look for another? Look at the things that you have heard and seen, says our Lord to the followers of St. John the Baptist. And what have they heard and seen? The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. So the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. These are the things that will happen, says Bishop Herrera, if we find where we find Jesus Christ. And St. Thomas Aquinas, in his commentary on these things, as well as St. Ambrose, it's his feast day today, says that this blindness refers to the intellect. We have blind minds. We do not see the truth before Christ comes. The deaf hear. The deaf are those who do not hear the word of God. We do not hear the way of virtue. Whenever we are told the way we're supposed to go and we don't want to do something, we always pretend that we cannot hear. If we don't want to know, we can't see. If we don't want to do, we can't hear. And so the deafness refers to our being deaf to the call of God to live the life of virtue. The blind hear, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, which is to walk in the ways of virtue, walk in the ways of the gospel. The lepers are cleansed, which means that sin is taken away, the leprosy of sin. And then the dead, which are those that are buried in the habit of sin, who are immersed in sin, shall rise. These are the effects of the coming of Jesus Christ. And the primary one we'll focus on today in the sermon and the contemplation today is going to be the last one. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And it is interesting that in this commentary of our Lord, each one is answered as it is should be answered, except for the last, which is the poverty. Those who are blind are going to be able to see. Those that are deaf are going to be able to hear. Those that are lepers are going to be cleansed. Those that are dead are going to rise from the dead. Those who are poor are going to stay poor. That's not what we expect to hear. But he says the answer to poverty, says Jesus Christ, is the gospel is preached to them, not the removal of poverty. This is how he begins his public ministry. Later on, he is going to say that poverty is necessary for salvation. And right before he dies, on the Wednesday of Holy Week, when St. Mary Magdalene comes in and breaks the nard over his feet, $1,000 worth of ointment that she pours over his feet, Judas says, "To what purpose is this waste? It could have been sold and given to the poor." And our Lord responds, "The poor you have always with you." He did not come to alleviate poverty. And it is interesting that it is after this last part of the passage, this last part of the gospel here, blessed are the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not scandalized in me. Who could be scandalized because someone was blind and now he sees, someone was deaf, now he hears, someone was leper, now he's cleansed, someone was dead, now he's alive. No one can be scandalized by these things. We are scandalized because the poor remain poor and they have the gospel preached to them. An example of one who experiences scandal, saw it recently in the news, a Jesuit priest in Notre Dame, commenting on the move to canonize Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And this Catholic Jesuit priest says, Mother Teresa should not be canonized because she said that she was not trying to remove poverty. She was trying to bring Christ to souls. That was her purpose. She wasn't trying to over-alleviate the sufferings of the poor and stamp out poverty. Therefore, she should not be canonized. That's the words of a Catholic priest. And that's the reason he gave. Blessed is he that is not scandalized in me, says our Lord Jesus Christ. This poverty is a scandal to us material creatures because we want material comfort and we want God to give it to us. And we believe that that's the sign of his blessing. And yet that is not what he says in the gospel. And therefore he says, blessed is he that is not scandalized in me. The poor have the gospel preached to them. What is the solution of poverty? It is the preaching of the gospel. And Bishop Herrera points out that if we look at the travels of our Lord Jesus Christ during his 3.5 years, we discover that he spent the majority of his time with the poor, though he spent time with every kind of individual, the rich as well. But he spent the vast majority of his time with the poor. And that the Catholic Church has survived for 2,000 years since his death, primarily because of the poor. It is poverty that has been the means of the preservation of our faith. For the poor you will always have with you. And our Lord also said at the very end of the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 28, you have me with you always as well. I will be with you all days unto the consummation of the world. So there are two things that we will always have according to Jesus Christ. Himself and the poor. And if he wishes to remain with us stably upon this earth, then his primary preaching will actually be to the poor. Because they will always be with us. And those who can have the faith and poverty at the same time, I have no danger of losing it. When we have the wealth and the faith, if we lose our money and the bank account closes down, then we waver in our faith. I'm not sure if I believe in God anymore. And very often we leave the faith because we lost our job or lost our house or something happened to us in a bad way that's material. But if someone is already poor and they have the faith, and they have nothing material really to lose, then the faith becomes stable. And Christ wanted his faith that he was preaching during those 3.5 years that he would confirm by his crucifixion to be stable on this earth, to remain until the ending of the world. Therefore, he attached that faith to poverty. Throughout the lives of the saints, those who follow Christ closely are always poor. You won't find too many exceptions down the last 2,000 years. It's the way that Christ operates. And Bishop Herrera, quoting St. Ambrose, says another reason why God allows the poor to remain on the earth. He says, the poor are allowed to remain so that the rich may be saved. Which is an interesting point. The poor are allowed on the earth so that the rich may be saved. For without the poor, the rich cannot be saved. St. Ambrose gave a rule about the rich. He said that those that are wealthy, that they should take all of their possessions and all of their material things, and they should divide it into 3 equal parts. And the first part they keep unto themselves. The second part they give to the liturgy, they give to the church. The third part they distribute to the poor. And this, says St. Ambrose, is not a benefit unto the church and unto the poor. It is a benefit unto the one who gives. St. Thomas Aquinas points out concerning alms deeds and the giving of charity that in fact it benefits the giver rather than the one who receives. Because wealth and riches will drag us down into hell. The attachment to these things is exceedingly dangerous, and it makes us to become detached from the things of God. So it is necessary, therefore, to prove some detachment from the things of this world in order for ourselves to be supernaturally stable. Therefore, our riches must be shared. Well, we mentioned in the book of the Proverbs, but also one of the statements of the saints that I've mentioned to you before, that one of the signs of salvation is generosity in poverty. We must always be generous with our wealth, whether it's a little or whether it's a lot. The reason for this is it's good for our souls. Not it's good for others. We find that throughout the lives of the saints. One great example is Alice of Montbar, the mother of Saint Bernard. She had 7 children who all went to heaven and are saints. And her husband also is in heaven. And she would go about giving to the poor. And it is described in her giving, the same was true of Saint Elizabeth of Hungary, who did the same thing. It is described of those that received her gifts that they felt as though they were doing her a service and that they were doing her an honor. They did not feel as though she was giving something that she needed to them. They felt as though she was getting rid of something and they were graciously taking it that she did not want. And St. Ambrose, when he was elected a bishop, 34 years of age, he was elected a bishop. He did not want to become a bishop. He tried to escape it, but he was forced to become a bishop, and he became a bishop. And he decided, since he was going to give himself to God, that he must give away his things. So he gave away everything that he had. And then when things would be given to him from that day forward, St. Ambrose says, what he used to say was, I need an accountant and a distributor for my goods, for they worry me. And so I have decided that my accountants and the distributors of my goods shall be the poor. This way I don't have to worry about them. And so whatever was given to him, he would give it to the poor, and he considered it as removing a hassle away from his own conscience. He was so generous and given over to this generosity that it says in the writing of the life of Saint Ambrose that he was never, from the day he was consecrated a bishop and made that first gift of charity, ever bothered by any temptations with regard to material things for the rest of his days. He so perfectly overcame it that he had no attachment of any kind to things. Poverty and Jesus Christ. Bishop Herrera also goes through the list of the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was born in a stable. He died upon a cross, having not even any clothing. He lived the life of poverty. He did not remove this poverty from his own life. It was not one of the purposes of his coming. In our modernist church today, unfortunately, many Catholic priests and many Catholic bishops are going about trying to end poverty. And they say that this is one of their goals, to end poverty. When the master and founder of our church said, it can't be done and it should not be done. Remember that Jesus is God. Now if he says the poor you will always have with you, then the poor we will always have with us. He speaks the truth. It is not one of the goals of our church to stamp out poverty. It is the goal of our church to stamp out sin and to give to the poor a new treasure. Bishop Sheen says, this is the secret to happiness, to let souls know what their true treasure is. That's the secret to all happiness. Do not put your treasure in foolish material things, because you're going to lose them anyway. At death, you will lose them all, including your own body. So you're going to lose it anyway. Therefore, it is absolute foolishness to put our treasure into material things, but rather to put our treasure into the life that comes, and the means to get to that life, which is living according to the grace of God and following His gospel. And that's why the only solution to poverty in the world is evangelization. One reason why missionaries go out into the far reaches of the world, they go out to the poor and they tell them that they need Jesus Christ and they need to be filled with our Lord. When we are filled with Christ, we do not worry about material things. As much as we worry about material things, so much are we not filled with Christ. And so that's something that we all have to work upon. Christ and the poverty that comes with Him. Now it is true, St. Ambrose states it, Bishop Pereira points it out, that our Lord does alleviate poverty. We find it also in the Gospel. They were with Him for 3 days, He was preaching to them, and He gave them food. That He does alleviate poverty from time to time. This is something that He does do in order to encourage and help us who are weak. But it is not what He is about, and it is not the solution. As He told the woman at the well, you come to this well and you drink water, and you come again and you drink water, and you come again and you drink water, but if you drink the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. And the wise lady put down her pot and she said, give me some of this water so I don't have to come to this well anymore. She was a wise lady. Another thing that St. Ambrose says, there is much wisdom found amongst the poor and not the rich. Bishop Herrera points out, note the reaction of the poor. Even on Good Friday, Christ has a special love of the poor. For a short time, says Bishop Herrera, the poor turned against Jesus Christ. And they said, let Him be crucified. But by 3 p.m, they were striking their breasts, and they went home with tears in their hearts. It didn't stick. Things don't stick to us so badly when we have poverty of spirit. Sin doesn't have as great a hold. So it is necessary to strive after this poverty in order to be a true follower of our Lord Jesus Christ. And St. Ignatius says that this poverty consists in detachment from material things. We all need a certain amount of material things in order to survive. But it requires a detachment from it. St. Ambrose gives a sign of the test of this detachment. He says, when you give charity, there's a threefold rule. It must be cheerful, it must be prompt, it must be abundant. That was St. Ambrose's rule of gifts. It must be given cheerfully, it must be given promptly, and it must be given abundantly. You know, very often we give something to someone and there's this painful move of our arm with a $5 bill. Take it. That's not prompt. And we mourn afterward. That's not cheerful. And it's very rarely abundant. So let your charity be cheerful, prompt, and abundant. That's what St. Ambrose says. And so, it is necessary for the good of our own souls to practice some kind of poverty. And there are some rules that we need to follow. One of them is, don't worry about these things. We human beings can only think about one thing at one time. And the devil is very wise. If he gets us to worry about our bank accounts and about our debts and so on too much, this means that we do not have time to worry about our souls. And we will be judged most harshly when the time comes that we lose all these things anyway. And so it is necessary to not worry about these things. That's one rule. And also remember the statement of St. Thomas Aquinas about attachment. He says that attachment and detachment are inseparable realities. All human beings are attached, all human beings are detached, and that we can't be one without the other. Now, if we are attached to the things of this world, we are thereby necessarily detached from Christ. If we are attached to our Lord, we are thereby necessarily detached from the things of the world. And the problem of our pain in our lives, the reason why we have sorrow, is because we have a double attachment. We're being pulled in two different directions. One part of us wants the money, and wants the pleasure, and wants the things of the world. The other part wants Christ, and we can't make up our minds, and so we're being pulled apart, and we have sorrow. To have only the one attachment brings peace and brings joy. And so St. Thomas says, it's one motion by which we do this. One motion by which we become attached to Jesus Christ and detached from the world. And therefore, at times, we'll focus on detachment. In this way, we get closer to Christ. At other times, we'll focus on attachment. And in this way, we get closer to Christ and further from the world. So no matter which way we look at it, I want to get closer to our Lord, then we're going to get further from things. I want to be further from things, then we're going to get closer to our Lord. It's two sides of the same coin. And so let's work on this problem of poverty. And remember that our Lord did not come to cure it, but He came to make us evangelized in the midst of it. And this is how we're going to prepare for the new treasure, which is the possession of God in heaven. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.